I was thinking about different places that we've been privileged to speak at over the years. 45 years of pastoring, preaching. We're supposed to be retired. We have been in 5 states, and this will be 19 churches we've been in the last five months. I have stood where they had the special effects and the smoke come out of the pulpit, and Sister Brownie and I stood in knee-deep smoke, but it didn't make it no more spiritual just because smoke was coming out of the platform. And the spotlights were just right and for the effects, but nothing will produce the presence of God like people that lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He deserves it. And it's indeed my honor today to be at this wonderful place and to be with your wonderful pastor and his wife. I think we ought to give them a great big hand because they're so... I love them. I love their spirit. I mean, some people you can love, but some people you just love their spirit. And I love the Brownies, and I appreciate getting to be here this morning or this afternoon. And so it's a delight to have my wife and my granddaughter here today. We will celebrate 47 years together the 23rd of next month. And do you think marriage is easy? Well, I'm not going to teach or preach on marriage today, but I probably will hit on a few things. I have actually been debating on 2 or 3 things to preach. Then when Pastor Browning got up here this morning and said, your Sunday school lesson was up on the ground. Well, that was my message. I said, well, okay, God. I might have a different slant at it, but I'm going to talk to you about your ground. Hey, Dr. Burton, it's good to see you. This is people from our church and out of True Life. And amen, we love you so much. And praise God. And she's been a great friend to us and her sweet mom. She talks to my mother-in-law, and they're big buddies. So we love you. I want us to stand for the reading of the Word, if we could. I feel a great spirit of the Lord here today. I'm going to read a verse from the book of Hosea, chapter 10, verse 12. I don't know, when I first start, you say, well, how is he going to talk about certain things? But I want to tell you that, of course, Hosea is a unique book. And we'll talk about that in later time. But here's what Hosea wrote, and he said, sow righteousness for yourselves, reap the fruit of unfailing love. Of course, this is the NIV, I believe it says, and break up your unplowed ground. The King James says, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he... Anybody believe he's coming? And then he says, and showers his righteousness on you. There are 3 things that Hosea in his writing is asking us to give to God. And I'm going to talk about that. But I want to talk to you about the ground has to be broken. The ground has to be broken. Would you turn to your neighbor and tell them that the ground has to be broken? Amen. You may be seated if you'd like. I read something just in the last couple days that Wisconsin just suffered a very horrendous winter. Were you guys hanging around in January like I was? Did your cars freeze up as well? The first time in 30-something years of pastoring in Waukesha that actually the gas line of my car froze up. So when a couple of mechanics came out to my house, boys from my church, they undid the line to the carburetor. They sprayed some heat in there. And out, after a while, trying to start my vehicle, out shot out of the gas line. The first time in my whole life, in almost 68 years, first time I've ever seen gasoline frozen. Now, that was cold this winter. And think about is that in Tennessee, where we moved in recent months, is that it rained 20 inches in February. It's rained at least 3 to 4 times a week, and there has not been one plow put in the field in Tennessee. I don't see very many plows that have been put in the fields, even though you're in the city here, but you take a drive out in the country, no soil has been turned over because the conditions have not been conducive for the ground to be plowed. And what happens is that you don't have to do anything with the soil for it to become hardened. How come every year comes around, the farmer just can't go out and plow or just plant corn and soybeans and cotton and whatever it may be and expect a harvest? He has to do something to the soil, and the soil has to be receptive to the farmer and to the touch of the plow. It has to be willing to be broken. Can I get a witness in the house? And so many times I love people and I love the work of the Lord, but I've seen it all in 45 years. I have heard every excuse why people don't change. In fact, this big statement that usually comes to me as a pastor was that, if people were having marital problems, they would say to me, "Well, Pastor, my hands are tied." I said, "Well, how are your hands tied?" He said, I just can't love." Well, why did you get married for, stupid? Excuse me, I'm sorry. Some people say to me, they said, "Well, I just can't go on in the future." And I said, "Well, what's the deal?" They said, "Well, I'm a hard person. I hold grudges for at least 20 years. No wonder you can't produce anything if you hold a grudge, if you hold offenses, if you can't have unity in your home and in your marriage and in your church. There needs to be a big, Jesus needs to come in here with a big plow today and plow our spirits. Because I promise you, Jesus can do a whole lot more with your spirit than I can in my abilities to speak or preach to you today. The power of the Holy Ghost can transform lives in a matter of moments. I've seen him take the most impossible scenario and turn it into the miraculous. I serve and you serve a miraculous God today. For he is well able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can even ask or think or believe and come to our imagination. So you are looking at a guy that has seen God open the blinded eyes. You may have never seen that before. I've seen God open people's eyes that had actually no eyeballs, and God performed a miracle. I'm not bragging on me. I'm just telling you, I've seen people that could not hear, and their ears pop, and all of a sudden, they could hear better than I can hear. I've seen the lame walk and the dumb talk and the blind see. But that don't make me great. What that makes me is I serve a great God. He is greater than I am. He's greater than you are. And he's bigger than your problem. He's bigger than your mountain. He's bigger than your lowest valley. And he's higher than the highest peak that you have to climb. He is our God. And so all this time, I find people keep telling me, Pastor, my hands are tied. My hands are tied. Anybody ever use that term? Oh, come on. Surely y'all don't use that. If you ever take anything back somewhere and they'll say, oh, my hands are tied because the policy, whatever. Our policy is that you can't take this back or you can't return it now. You ever ask anybody, well, we have a large food pantry in Waukesha. We fed about 300 and some families a month. And I promise you, every month we would get at least 50 requests for rent payment, utility payment, cell phone bills. And I promise you, you're looking at a dude that said a few times, I can't do any more. My hands are tied. I don't have any more money. This is not the U.S. Bank. Amen. Let me just say, stop and say something here for the church. The church is not your bank. Oh, good preaching. Hallelujah. Amen. The church is not your bank. This is a place of where your soul is restored and renewed and refurbished and refed, and you get plugged back in and you get all the bumps and the hard places knocked out of your spirit. I would say today in a congregation here this morning or this afternoon, there is some unplowed ground and unplowed hearts in this room. I promise you that I go along in seasons of time. Watch dealing with people, dealing with issues, dealing with your job, dealing with what your kids. I mean, some of you sweet mothers, I see you chasing your kids and trying to keep them corralled and so forth. Sometimes you just get worn out. Let's get real. Some days I hated being a pastor. Because I said, oh, Lord, what am I going to deal with today? Who's going to fall apart today? Who's going to blow up today? Who's going to get angry today? Who's going to get mad today? What family problem's going to happen today? But I have to go back to the source of where my strength comes. My ability does not come within me. It doesn't come within my finesse or my charisma. It comes by the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why the praise team sung so beautifully. You get in the presence of God, things begin to vanish. Issues begin to vanish. Spirits begin to be broken. Hearts begin to be tendered by the presence of the Almighty God. Hallelujah. You want to fix your relationship? Then get in the presence of God and let God break up that hard spirit. Break up the spirit of anger. Break up the spirit of doubt. Break up the spirit. I'll just tell you sometime, God's hands, get this, God's hands are not tied. Never have been, never will be. But I'll tell you what ties us from keeping the miraculous in our life is sometimes our stubbornness. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. And we're not willing enough to just say, God, I'm just completely stubborn. I'm not willing to let you take the gospel plow and come across the unplowed territory of my spirit and allow you to totally break me, shake me, move me, change me. Whatever you need to do in my life, I'm willing that you do it this afternoon. Is there anybody who would get real with Bishop Hook today? There are still parts of our lives that we'd like to keep. Just in case we want to go back. Unplowed. Untilled. I'm going to give it all to you, Lord. Well, okay. had a man tell me the other day, he said he couldn't afford to tithe. I said, you can't afford to tithe? What's wrong with you? Oh, man, it got quiet now. I'm not going to take up another offering. I might. No, I lie. I might. For the church. I don't know. I don't know what I might do here. I just want you to understand that when I was a small boy, I mean, of course, I had the privilege as the Browning children are here today. I fell in love with them. But I promise, as a kid, my dad, you know, when I had my first paper out of Kentucky and I had 150 papers, and I ever get up in the cold at about 4 o'clock every morning and throw papers. And the first week I remember making $15, and you worked 3 or 4 hours every morning. So it worked out about 20 cents an hour. But I made $15, and my dad said, okay, son, where's the dollar and a half at? I said, what dollar and a half? He said, God's dollar and a half. He said, man, that's mine, Dad. He said, no, it ain't. All of it belongs to God, and God lets you keep 90%. I'm not trying to straighten you out this morning. So at 12 years old, I learned how to give to God. Some of us have never learned why we're in the shape we are in and why we continually go through financial struggles, because if we don't get our priorities in the proper place, it all belongs to Jesus anyway. Well, if you can't give me a Pentecostal amen, give me a Baptist nod, okay? I'm just trying to tell you the truth of the matter is you need to understand everything you got belongs to God. Everything you'll ever have and ever be belongs to God. And you should worship God with your whole heart, with your whole strength, with your whole mind, with your finances. Everything needs to be surrendered to the Lord. Oh, my. Pastor Browning will never let me come back. Isaiah 48:13. Let's go there. Isaiah 48:13. Let's look at that for just a second. Amen. My own hand laid the foundations of the earth, and my right hand spread out the heavens. When I summons them, they all stand up together. I wonder if the 100 or so people here this morning, I wonder if we could all stand up at the same time. I mean, you did it because I asked you to. But guess what? When God steps out on the portals of glory and he says, okay, he summons the foundation of the earth and his right hand spans it all. Why don't we trust a God that is well able to do? If he made the foundations of this earth, he can do anything in my life. Before you're seated, somebody shout it. He is able to do it this morning. He is able to do it in my life. He is able, if he can stretch the foundations, if he can summons the heavens, he can do anything. You can be seated if you like. I'm just saying, God, if you have your hand out there and your hand is on me, I'm going to prove to you something this morning. Amen. I want to prove to you something. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 6. I want to tell you, from the day that you were born, I'm going to get to Hosea here in a little while. From the day you were born, God has had his hand on you. Lord, amen, the God of our ancestors, and you are not the God who is in heaven. Question. You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand. So let me propose to you a couple things, or three things today, that you may have never really understood. From the day that you were born, God's hand has been over you. You're not that lucky when a drive-by took place. You're not that lucky when you were spaced out of your brain on drugs. You're not that lucky when you drove intoxicated. There was a God, and his name is Jesus.
that actually rode in the car with you, that actually blessed you and protected you. Can I get a witness from somebody? You know God's power has been on your life and He's blessed you. And some people say, I need to know God is with me. I'm telling you, from the day you were born, God has made provision, He's made protection, and He's given you the power. I can't tell you how many times in traveling, how many times God has spared my wife and I's life. I can't tell you about the times. I remember back in the 70s when we were traveling and evangelizing. I remember the last mile marker. We started home one Sunday night after church after having a five-week revival. I remember mile marker 69, and the next mile marker I remember was 89. So pulling a 31-foot camper with a car, what was I doing for 20 miles? I believe God, even though I was stupid for driving tired and sleepy, God still had His hand on me, and God seen me here May the 26th of 2019, and He said, it's not your time, stupid. Well, you're out there driving sleepy, you're out there driving weary, you're out there driving tired. Is anybody here with me? Know that God has had His hand. Come on, can I get you to lift your hands and say, I know God has provided for me and protected me. I'll say to somebody this morning, the job you have, it wasn't you that got yourself there. It was God that got you there. I want to say something else. If you see a frog up on top of a fence post, it probably didn't get up there by itself. Somebody had to help it out. I promise you. God has helped a whole lot of us out a lot of times when we didn't give Him praise for it, when we didn't give Him proper glory for it, because He's been a great God and His power is able to do that needs to be done this morning. And so therefore, I know God's hands are not tied. They're never tied. But I believe, personally me, I have tied God's hands in working in my life. Come on, is anybody else would at least agree with me? Come on, would you lift up? You have at times tied God's work and God's will and God's purpose for your life because you wouldn't let go of something that God was calling you to let go of. Because God's hands are not tied. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse number 3. The Bible said the hand of the Lord was over. Ezekiel's talking about that. He's speaking here at the end of the Babylonians. He said, there the hand of the Lord was upon me. I promise you, amen, this great church, the Lord is upon you today. God has sent you a wonderful man of God and wife and family. And He's placed you right here in the middle of Milwaukee. And I don't care if there are 40 million churches on every corner. When you go down Burleigh, I preached all up and down Burleigh through the last 40 years. I preached at all kinds of churches. There is mega churches in Milwaukee. But let me tell you what will separate this church from every other church. Thank you for the beautiful stained glasses. Thank you for all the beauty that's here. But there is one thing that nobody can reproduce, and that is the power and the anointing and the glory of God Almighty. And I'm not here to downrate pomp and circumstance, but pomp and circumstance will not bring revival. I'll tell you what will bring revival this morning. It's people that are willing to break up any hard-heartedness, any unbroken spirit inside of us. God, would you take my heart and would you let your hand go into my spirit today and take charge of that unbroken and that fallow spirit in me? I'll be real, real with you today. I did not want to be a preacher or pastor. For all of you that are esteemed to be the boss around here, let me tell you what, you don't know what you're asking for. Well, if I was a pastor, I would do this, I'd do that. Huh? wherever the mental ward is, I think they need to drop you off there. I'm telling you, when I was a kid, my dad was a pastor, so we went to church, and every Sunday, back in the 60s, 50s and 60s, and when I was a kid, then in high school in the late 60s and graduated in 69, and so when we would go to church, people went to church 7-8 times a week. We had church Tuesday night, Thursday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, so that was 1, 2, 3, 4. That was 5 times a week. And then when we didn't have church, we were looking for a place to go somewhere to revival. Man, it got to the place in pastoring in Waukesha, I had to try to schedule stuff between soccer practice. There's so much amusement, and I'm not saying I did, but I'm saying there's so many games and so much to lull our attention. Is there anybody know what I'm talking about? It's hard to get people's attention because there's so many. I had to get off the freeway this morning and come around all the way around the back roads and stop at every stop sign because there were 45,000 people backed up trying to get into Brewer Stadium. I would to God we had 45,000 people backed up out here to come in the house of the Lord. And they'll turn around and give 40, 50, 100 bucks to do it, to give people, amen, to give them $10 or $20 million a piece a year. I'm not saying they're not worth it, but I'm telling you something, brother and sister. We got our priorities in the wrong place in America. Don't get me wrong. I like sports as much as the next guy. But my hero is not LeBron James. My hero is not the Greek freak. My hero is Jesus Christ. And I'm not against, I wish the Bucks would have won all the way, but my hero today is the one who came down and got a hold of my life as a child and has kept me, has provided for me. So when I was riding one, I remember one Sunday morning, I was about 12 years old, my dad had to do something and had to set somebody down in church because their lifestyle was not conducive for them to be on the platform. Anybody understand what I'm saying? Hello? So a pastor has to do that sometimes. Won't you just thank God? Because I'm telling you, you got somebody watching for your... I'm not bragging about it. I've had to do it many, many, many times. So that morning, we were going by, and it was back in 1963, I was 12 years old. So that time at Dairy Queen, that's where they roller skated out, and they had the big dairy dip. I'm really dating myself. And so they would skate out to there, and a hamburger was 6 cents, and a Coke was 6 cents, so 12 cents. And so there was 5 of us, my brother, my sister, my mom and dad, 5 of us. So 12 times 5 would have been 60 cents for 5 hamburgers and 5 soda. And lo and behold, out there at Dairy Queen, and especially I wanted to stop when I seen the kids of the church out there at Dairy Queen. And so I began to cry in the back, and I said, "Dad, I want to stop and get a hamburger and a soda." And I never will forget, he looked over the seat and he said, "Son, do you know how much we made this week?" And I said, "No, sir." He said, $1.68 was how much the tithing was. He said, "If we stop, that's 60 cents. He said, "We don't have anything to eat on for the rest of the week." And so I said in my heart right then, I said, "I am not going to be a preacher." If I got to beg people and ask them to give something to the offering plate, I'm getting me a college education. I'm making me some big bucks, and I ain't begging nobody for no tithing. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're here this morning? And so guess what? I got a degree in accounting. I got a minor in business. I went to work for Ingalls Shipbuilding. I was, you know, I probably would have been, I was on the track to be a CPA. I probably could have made mega bucks in the later time. But I promise you, when God gets a hold of your life, money don't matter. Come on, somebody, preach with me this one. Ministry matters. Ministry matters. When money becomes your priority, you've missed the call of what God's called you to do. We say, what are you doing, preacher? I'm just telling you, there's still yet some unplowed ground in our hearts. Hope I'm not messing up too bad. So I went to work. My wife helped me finish through college. She fixed hair, done long hair, fixed it up, you know, and she put me through. I was a junior in college, and I got drafted for Vietnam, went to be inducted to Vietnam. When I got to the boot camp, then they found out I had a heart murmur, so they sent me back home. So that's how closely I missed Vietnam. And then, of course, after that, God healed me of the heart murmur. So I honor you this weekend, Memorial Day, if you served and you gave time to our great country. But here it is. I am here to tell you this morning, there is power, there's protection, and there's provision by the Lord Jesus Christ today. Now let's get to the verse, we got any more verses here before we go? Let's go to Psalms or Isaiah 41, if you will, verse 10. If we'd be done, did that one? I think or 49:16. Whatever, wherever I'm at, y'all help me out back there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just that way. Okay, 49. Is this 41? So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you and with my righteous hand. Does anybody believe that God's helped you up? Give me the next verse. Come on. Amen. I got to hurry up. Praise God. Give me the next verse, hon, if you will. Okay. The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Matthew 25. I'm gonna come to an understanding here this morning that it is me then that's got to do some changing. And somebody, is there anybody other than me that like something to change in your life for the positive? Okay, I feel this very strongly in the Holy Ghost. Some of you kept using excuses. My hands are tied. I was raised in this family. I was raised with this kind of childhood. I was raised in dysfunctional home. I am telling you, after a while, get rid of the excuses because God has the power. And if you're willing to do what God says do and let him plow your heart and turn over the past. I said, turn over the past. Because when you turn the past over, something will happen. So, of course, then after a couple of years in accounting, I went into the ministry. My wife and I traveled for 4 or 5 years all over the United States. And then we wound up in Southern Illinois for 12 years. Then we were in Waukesha for over 30 years. But the truth of the matter is, if I had it to do over, I'd serve God and I'd live for God and I'd do exactly what I did. I have no regrets because I know that God has always provided for me. I prayed about sharing this with you this morning, and the Lord's given me the okay to do so. And I'm going to give you 3 points, and I'm going to be out of here. But there's something that I had to be, being born in Kentucky, raised in Mississippi, I seen a lot of prejudice. Seen a lot of prejudice, a lot very bad being raised in the Deep South in the 60s. I saw a lot of racial strife. And so God put me in a unique place. And I said, okay, God, what in the world is going on with all this bitterness and hatred and same way it is in America, seem like right now? I mean, it's so, people are so divided and so forth. And God says, okay, I'll give you an example, and I'm going to set your ministry on a pattern. So we go to Southern Illinois in 1977. Anybody born since 1977? Raise your hand. Well, you guys don't know about these days, but 1977, we went to Southern Illinois as a home missionary pastor, young pastor, 25 years old. Crazy. Anybody pastor a church at 25 got to have some screws loose at the top. So my wife, sweet wife, and I, we went to Southern Illinois when we took this camper that we had, and we had no money. And so the guy said, I'll tell you what, I'll let you have $4,500 trade-in on this house. I'll tell you how cheap stuff was then. I bought a four-bedroom house for $32,500. So he said, I'll give you $4,500 trade-in as like you had money if you'll give me your camper. My camper was paid for, thank God. So we moved in, and we had nothing. No furniture, the clothes on our back. And so we had preached a revival, and there was a man that owned a mobile home park. And so he said, let me tell you, I'll give you a bed, and I'll give you a lamp, and I'll give you a table. Now, if you've ever lived in a mobile home, no reflection, but I promise you, trailers down south don't have the best furniture in them. They are press board, and the mattresses aren't Serta. In fact, when you lay down on them, your back hits the floor. So here we are pastoring this church. We have nothing to eat. We have been given a mattress, and we're sleeping in the living room. And we have a table and a lamp. And so I preach. It's just my second or third week there, Pastor Browning. I don't have any money. I don't have any food. And my wife is crying. I tell you, that woman's, well, she's been a great one. She is a great one. And she's praying. She's saying, oh, God, there's a prayer warrior right there. So she's saying, okay, God. You know we need something to eat. I mean, I could stand some fasting right now. But we were down praying, and she was crying, and there came a knock on our door, October of 1977. Standing at the door was an African-American lady that attended my church. And I'm going to just say it like she said it, okay? This is no mockery or anything. She said, Pastor, she said, the Lord spoke to me in Piggly Wiggly. She did? He did? He said, yes, sir. He said, I was standing in the middle of Piggly Wiggly, and I work in the coal mines and make $125 a day. That's a lot of money back then. And she said, the Lord said, get the man of God $300 worth of groceries. Now, this is 42 years ago now. And she said, I don't want you to get ground beef. I want you to get him ground chuck, and I want you to get him some steak. So she comes up to my door and knocks on that door. Hey, Pastor, this is Barbara. I said, hey, Barbara. And she pulled up out there when she had in front of my house. She had one of those big Cadillacs, 72, 73 Cadillac. You know, it had the big fins on the back, you know. And I seen her go out to the car, and she opened the glove box and had one of those push button where the hood flew up, or where the trunk flew up. You know what I'm talking about. So she goes in there and puts her hand in the glove box, and the trunk flies open. And I never seen so many groceries in all my life. There was about 30 or 40 bags of groceries, and God spoke to me 42 years ago and said, let me show you something, being raised in the South, that I'll show you that you're going to be on a path to pastor all nations, all people, all creed. And there is no color of skin in God's eyes. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you that God had his hand on me and started me on a path 42 years ago and said, I'm going to take this southern boy, I'm going to send him to Milwaukee, and I'm going to have him pastor a church of every nation, of every color, of every creed, of every background. And I will show you, and I will provide for you by the most unlikely means. Come on, somebody. God may use somebody to provide for you. But you got to be willing to say, I don't care how it comes. I don't care where it comes from. I know you will supply. Come on, somebody ought to clap your hands right now and thank God. So God taught this boy, you better be willing to let your ground be broken. You better let your preconceived opinions and ideas, not that I was prejudiced, not that I was racist, but God was showing me right then, brother, let me let you know, God will come through in the most unlikely circumstances and get me say to you today, don't you rule out anything God has in store for you. I love you now, but some of you are looking at this white boy like I'm funny. But you know what? That can be also some of that coming back from the wrong side, too. So you shouldn't have any preconceived opinion of me. I have no preconceived opinion of you. When we come here, we're one people, we're one nation, we're God's children, and we worship God together. Don't come in here with your political agenda. Don't come in here with your political ideas. Don't come in here with your ideology. Come in here to worship God. Come on, somebody. Don't come in here with your... That's how I was raised. Get rid of that stuff. God wants to plow up. I feel the liberty of the Holy Ghost in this house this morning. God wants to plow up some of my white culture. God wants to plow up some of your black culture. God wants to merge us together and us be one people. But seeking God, here's my 3 points, and I want to tell you about ground now. You can be seated for just a moment. Thank you for standing. Write these down and don't forget them. If you want your heart to be broken this morning, you're seeking God, you've got to surrender. I give up. Sit there and look at me like a bump on a pickle if you want to, but I'm going to tell you something. Giving up ain't like, okay, hallelujah, God. Move me like you can, Lord. Let me tell you something. When you surrendered, I mean, you got to let God plow every bit of your heart and every bit of fallow ground that's in your spirit. I'm just saying in the Holy Ghost, there's everybody in this room, including myself, that has unplowed ground, because all you got to go is a short season and your heart will become hardened by the cares of life. You go a few weeks without praying and see how hard your heart can get. You go a few weeks without worshiping God and you'll see how your heart can change. Come on, preach on now. I'm telling you, that's why you got to, that's why the farmer has to go back. And Hosea's saying, I want you to go back and I want you to resurrender, because here's your issue, Hosea. I'm asking you to love a woman. That is promiscuous. Can I go down here? I mean, think about it. I have to be at another church at 2 o'clock. I ain't gonna make it. Hallelujah. I'm sorry. But how would you think about it? I mean, a woman that, I mean, over and over again, you read through the book of Hosea, God is saying to her, okay, forgive her again. I want to ask you, how many times does God forgive you when you strayed away from him? I mean, I'm not talking about sexually, but when you've been unfaithful in your worship, unfaithful in your commitment, unfaithful in your vows to God, you said, God, I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything, I'll worship you. But I'll tell you, promise you, many times we're like Gomer. That's good preaching, whether you like it or not. Hallelujah. The truth of the matter is, we need to understand that everybody in this room is a type of Gomer, and we are a type of the bride of Christ. And he kept saying to Hosea, okay, priest, I want you to keep loving that woman. I want you to keep loving that girl, because I don't care how promiscuous she gets, how unfaithful she is, how uncommitted she is. I still love you, still love that woman. And I'll tell you something about all of us. God's kept on loving you. I felt chill bumps on that one. God's kept loving us when we were really pretty unfaithful. Calling us a whore? No, I ain't calling you a whore. I'm just telling you, that's our spirit that has to be unplowed and plowed up in our spirit, because I promise you, we don't deserve to be here today.
Hallelujah.
I'm gonna be real honest with you, and I don't know if this kill your image of me or not, but I'm just being, I'm not, it's what you see is what you get. I promise you, God should have struck me off a long time ago. I thought all of you'd feel the same way, but let me tell you something. You think you're not entitled to anything. Listen, God's grace and God's mercy and God's love has been over you, and his canopy has been over you like love forever and forever and forever. And you know what you need to do? You need to get up on your feet and say, thank God, I'm blessed. I am so blessed. I am so blessed that he didn't give up on me. That's why some of you are not surrendered to God today. Here's what I'm saying is, supreme surrender means that you're going to also do something else. Okay, Hosea, here's what I'm going to not only say to you, you've got to break up your fallow ground. He said, then seek the Lord in righteousness. That means knowing to do good and do it. Can I get a witness from anybody this morning? Somebody said, what we really need at Rehoboth is a real profound preacher to come by and give us, break the word. You know what? I preached in Waukesha till my guts come out, and the guy come by right behind me, preached the same thing, and people were standing on their head. I know it happened to Pastor Browning too. I mean, it's crazy. I've been preaching the same thing for months, and here this guy has a revelation from God, and I've been saying the same thing. And here's the second thing, that if you're going to break up the ground, is it involves obedience. Yes. Everybody say obedience.
Obedience.
You see, my deal with you this morning is this, is that some people aren't willing to already obey what they know they're supposed to do. See, I'm educated way above my obedience level. Now you can write that down and take it to the bank. Most of you already know, instead of having somebody come in and preach and say, boy, wouldn't that be a profound message? Why don't you start obeying what you already know you need to do? Okay, look at me for just a minute. Is there anybody in this room that knows there's something you need to do to obey God? And are you completely surrendered? And are you completely obedient to what you already know you need to do? I'm digging around your ground today. I know I am. That's okay. Because here's what happens: is the longer you become, the longer you stay you stay unobedient. I don't know if that's even a word. Dr. Burton, she's principal of school at Waukesha, but she'll correct me later. Okay. The truth of the matter is, most of us aren't obeying what we already know we need to do, and then we want God to rain fresh rain down, and we want God to send a great harvest to our life when we need to be obedient to what we already know. Oh, hallelujah. Let me skip over that part. I'll skip over this. Hosea, the last thing I want you to do, the part, verse 12, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you. And here's the deal. That means I have to become so persistent I don't give up. Do you know the power of persistence is the... I don't do this now, but write it down, and I want you to Google it after church. I want you to Google the name Mel Fisher. Mel Fisher, F-I-S-H-E-R, Mel Fisher. Anybody know what Mel Fisher did? Any of you guys? In the 1960s, Mel Fisher, he is the most prolific treasure hunter ever in America. From the 1960s until, It was July the 20th, 1985, 16 years he kept diving for the Spanish ship Acacha. Every day for 16 years, him and his crew would go out and dive. Sister Browning, he lost his home. And in 16 years, he dived for this Spanish treasure, knowing somewhere it was out at sea. 16 years, he lost a son and a daughter-in-law. In that 16 years, his crew, some of them drowned. All of them that continued to believe in him, persist with him, lost everything they had. But on July the 20th, the guy that was so persistent for 16 years in diving for the Acacha, the Spanish ship, one day, July 20, 1985, there's long videos on YouTube about him. They came upon the treasure of the Spanish ship, Acacha. And a man that had been a pauper for 16 years, he found over $500 million worth of gold and silver. You read any of the YouTube, any of the people that was with him, that they said, okay, today's the day, is what he kept saying to them. Today's the day. Everybody say, today's the day. Today. See, you can come to church and you can say, well, next week's the week, but you got to say, today's the day. Today's the day. Today's the day for the change. Today's the day I'm ready to get rid of some of the garbage in my life. Today's the day I'm ready to plow the field.
Amen.
So in July of 1985, he pulls up all of these gold and silver coins and gold bars
And if you just again just do just Google him, okay? I don't have time. But he was willing, even when he lost his son and his daughter-in-law in the expedition, he kept persisting. I tell you what happens to many of us. We quit before we get to our. Can I get a witness to somebody? You know. I mean, if it don't come overnight, we give it up in a hurry. But let me tell you what, you know how you're going to build a great church here? I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to keep digging. I'm going to keep worshiping God. You know I built a great church in Waukesha? Did I feel like leaving a million times? Yes, sir. But I promise you, I kept going, kept digging, kept preaching, kept praying, keep preaching, keep praying, keep worshiping. People leave. Keep teaching Bible studies. Keep praying, keep worshiping. Keep preaching, keep worshiping, keep praying. People leave. Come on, keep going. Keep loving people, keep worshiping. You can't get where you want to be by quitting tonight or tomorrow or letting somebody offend you. And I love you, but I'm going to tell you, your spirit, the person that's offended at me for preaching this morning, saying what I said, let me tell you something. That's why you're where you're at in your life. You'll never get anywhere till you get past the spirit of offense. That's why you can talk about me. That's okay, because guess what? I got a big God that can fix that. I'm not bragging. I'm just trying to tell you. I've been in all kind of places, preached 2,000 or 3,000 people. I can preach in a big church. I can preach in a small church. But I promise you, I cannot preach without God. I cannot make it without God. I cannot make it unless I surrender to God. I cannot make it without obedience. And I cannot make it without persistence. Is there anybody who would stand to your feet now and say, God, I've been a little discouraged lately, but I'm ready to take another dive.
Amen. Praise the name of God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
I'm ready to get up on the bow of the ship. I'm all ready to put on the oxygen tank again. I'm ready to get out and plunge into the ocean one more time, because I want the supernatural. I want the miraculous. I want the anointing of God, and I will not give up until I dive again. Am I talking to anybody in this house? Am I talking to anybody in this house that needs to get back on your oxygen tank and say, I'm going to dive again. I'm going to go out into the deep waters again. I'm going to persist. I'm going to obey, and I'm going to surrender.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord.
I'm sorry for preaching so long. I didn't.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Somebody ought to lift your hands, because God's been good to you. Mercy's come your way many, many times. Mercy's set at your doorstep day in and day out. Love is set at your doorstep day in and day out. And the least you could do is say, God, I'm going to be persistent. I don't know what I'm going through. I don't understand how I've been through it. But I know you're going to take me through. Now I'm going to ask everybody here, I'm going to ask you to come and stand with me.